Podcasting 2.0 for April 7th, 2023, episode 128. We're fully fingered! Oh, it's Friday once again. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the only executive boardroom that has IKEA chairs. That's right. Time for Podcasting 2.0, where we break it down. The future of podcasting is here. We talk about podcastindex.org, of course, the namespace, and everything happening at podcastindex.social. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country and in Alabama, the man who will filter your Cloudflare tighter than anyone. Say hello to my friend on the other end, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Dave Jones.
You're a pro. You didn't get distracted by the I was waiting for you to fall out and get that, because I was like, hey, chat room, we need to know when to rip it. So you got a boost and right in the middle of the intro. Pew pew.
Everybody starts ripping and boosting. Hey brother, yep. How you doing, Dave?
Good. Fever free. I'm back.
You're what? Finger? Would you say finger free? What
did fever. Still got 10 of those. No, oh. I'm fever free.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah.
I'm fully fingered and no and unfevered.
All right. So show title, fully fingered. Let me write that down right away. Okay. I'm liking that.
Yeah, it's good. One of our guests today is also high. So this is great.
Yeah. We'll get to our guests in a moment. First, let me check in a little bit.
I'm really excited.
We are lit, by the way, for those who don't know what it is, the live item tag. We are lit and live. Get one of those swanky modern podcast apps at podcastapps.com. The ones that work currently, Podverse, CurioCaster, Podcast Addict. Love it. I hear, by the way, Fountain is very close.
Very close to what?
to lit. To implementing lit.
Oh, yeah. Where did you hear this? I did not hear this.
I heard it straight from the horse's mouth. I heard from...
from Oscar?
No, from... not Oscar, from... I forget his name.
He's the horse.
No, his brother. Not his brother. His partner.
What?
His partner.
Mick.
Mick, yes, thank you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
The horse is Oscar, though. The horse, come on.
Yeah, apparently they're not far behind.
What did he say? And when did he say it?
Well, he said
and
it
where
to me.
Did he say it?
Well, oh, here's how it went. So, I got a Twitter DM, and I'm not on Twitter that much anymore. Actually, it's amazing that he got through to me, because I mean the Doge dog is too triggering. I'm like, every single so time stupid. I see that thing, like it's like, you know, I can't look at that. Also, if you noticed it, I don't think you're much on Twitter, but ever since April 1st. And I've never had a blue check mark, and I don't intend to pay for one. I have like 69,000 followers. Mm-hmm. The engagement has like gone down by 90%.
Because all the bots are not engaging anymore.
People aren't. I don't think people are seeing me as much. I'm not sure exactly what's happening. I don't really care.
Have you been? What do they call that? Not de-platformed.
Bozo filtered.
Yeah, like
de-emphasized,
or I don't know what the word is for it. Where they make you artificially push you down in the rank.
Yeah,
like de-ranked.
Yeah. I guess so. I guess without a blue check mark, I think that's what happens.
Shadow banned. I
don't think it's really shadow banned. I think de-emphasized is what it is. It's funny because it actually opened up more time in my life for Noster, which has been reasonably interesting because there's no algorithm. So it's a bit like Mastodon. You know, it's like you get down to a message you've read before and you're done. You know, it's time to do something else. Move on. There's nothing left to read here. I've seen it all.
Yeah.
Although, the Mastodon podcast index.social. I mean, and I appreciate people tag me and stuff, and I want to be tagged in it. But man, what is the deal with transcripts? What is this argument? What are we arguing over? It worked for 2 years. Everything's fine. What is the problem?
I knew this.
Well enough, right?
Yes, at about post 12, I was like, yeah, Adam, this is where Adam's going to bring this up on the show.
What are we doing? But I don't understand. Here's what I think. So someone made a library. Did Crater make this?
Someone made
yeah,
a library.
Yeah, Stephen Crater. Yeah, which is a great name, but Transcriptator. I love it.
Yeah, I love it. Mm-hmm. And I knew that Mitch was like, oh, cool. And Mitch was trying to get it to work. And I followed that. And I love following that stuff, by the way. And I'm like, oh, man, I'm glad I'm not Mitch. And so I watched.
Mitch implements stuff, I mean, like within 10 minutes after it's built. So yeah,
but I know he was having some issues. And you know, I love seeing that camaraderie, that brothership back and forth. And then all of a sudden, you know, I just see people piling on with, you know, I see the good old, it's got to be JSON. Like, oh, where's Daniel J. Lewis? Okay, he's around here. You know, and then it's like, well, you know, and usually James Crittenden will say, I implemented it in 5 minutes on my own website. And then it goes back and forth. And then it's like, should it be 32 words, one word, 5 words per word? And I'm like, well, I don't know. It's working for me. You know, the amount of people who are hard of hearing and people who speak English as a foreign language have not complained to me. So what are we doing? What's going on here?
This all started with Kyle Bondo, Gagglepod, and Podcast Index.
Okay. Got it.
He just piped in and said, question about transcripts. Have podcasters landed on a final transcription format for podcasting? In the wild, I see podcasters jam SRT with time codes into their show notes, while PC 2.0 podcasters use SRT, star.srt. Meanwhile, do HTML, JSON, VTT, and text versions have value in podcasting? Is it being decided for us by Big Transcript, or is this really a UX accessibility issue? So that was what launched the, you know, 60 posts of this thread.
But this carried over from a discussion on GitHub even, because I remember jumping in that discussion just saying, hey, while y'all are arguing, this is the UX people are looking at. And I just posted a TikTok video to show that people are doing bam, 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 word. I mean, which I find incredibly exciting to do something. Let me just put it this way. I see there's a huge difference between what we use on the back end and what that does and how and what the user experience is. And imagine my delight, my sheer utter delight when I saw Podfriend Martin pop up with a completely new concept. It looks like Dvorak and I were, was it you and I or Dvorak and I? We're having a conversation with little chat bubbles. Yes, this is what I'm talking about. That's what I care about.
That thing was beautiful. That is a killer interface.
Yeah, and so I wonder if there's general confusion between the two in this technology back end conversation, because for what I can read, Mastodon doesn't do threads really great for me for the way my brain works. So what I can read and understand, it seems like that there is some flow between what format it is and how that's surfaced on the in the app. And quite honestly, I find pure closed captions or subtitle formats pretty boring. Because there's nothing else going on the screen. You know, it's not like you're watching a movie and you want kind of the subtitles or captions out of the way where they're easy for you to catch at the bottom of your view and still see everything. I mean, that could be hyped up. It could be all kinds of stuff could be done with that.
I think there's two issues here. Word for word time stamping versus like per line, which is the SRT way. So with JSON transcripts, you can get a timestamp on every single word. Mm-hmm. So then you can imagine that. Man, it's the most powerful way to go, because you can get down to word level accuracy with clips and stuff. So this would really, and it, just like Descript and these digital audio, these DAW softwares will help you clip something or do voice edits with the transcript as your editor.
Yeah. By the way, that's for pussies. Yeah, waveform, bitch. Good old school waveform. What's wrong with you? Yeah, go ahead.
You see the Matrix. I get you. You can imagine for a phone, you got a mobile app here, and you're going to do editing. Like, you're going to do a clip in a phone. that's a pain in the butt. But if you could clip it based on the transcript, on the words, oh, that would be so much easier.
Okay, so we're already moving on to something about clipping. And
but I'm just making a point.
Okay.
I'm not moving the conversation. I'm just saying that like that you can see the power of a transcript, word for word transcript, to let the app know at any moment where the audio is in sync with the transcript. So that's like the most powerful part of it.
I'm with you. Yes, I'm with you. I got you there. But of course, no one has that system. I'm happy to run it through a translator. Mm-hmm. I would say, having multiple versions, almost like a multiple alternate enclosures, I think might be a mistake at this point if we have to output three different versions and then have three different, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like, there's a lot of stuff that people want people to do.
Well, see that. Okay, so that's the other part of this.
That's my job.
You have that word for word accuracy debate, mm-hmm. and so then you're going to have people fall down on either side of that discussion where they say, okay, well, why do we need a whole bunch? If word for word is just simply the best, mm-hmm. you can always go lower resolution. You can't go higher. And there's another factor in here too. I'm going to throw this out. So the JSON, the SRT file has been problematic, especially for the French.
Stop right there. Who cares? Yes. The French. Give me a break.
how dare you?
Sacre bleu! To the guillotine we take him, along with Macron!
Yes. The French got really pissed. I mean, Benjamin Bellamy was hot.
I didn't realize. I missed this whole, what happened? Why, what?
Well, because he's upset about the 32 word limit in the SRT file. And this, SRT.
But it's not a matter of the language. It's just a matter of the French.
Yeah. It's a matter. I'm using Benjamin as a stand-in for, quote, the French.
Okay. I didn't know if it was a language thing. Okay, I got the French are bent out of shape.
They're basically the same.
That's basically their culture. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. If you know one French guy, you know all of French guys.
Wow.
It's like the with the reggae album.
Hold on a second. I'm gonna crack open a Bud Light. All right, let's go.
I love you, Benjamin. But see, so the SRT has a line length.
Yeah.
And because it just does per line. And so Benjamin was saying he doesn't like the fact that it's a 32 word line length because it doesn't take advantage. It doesn't like take advantage of other languages with longer
words,
character sets mm-hmm. of words. Yes.
Sure.
So which is valid. And then, but then the app guys came back and they were like, hey, that's fine and all, but we have to be able to fit this thing on the screen, like one line at a time. And if you have a 128 words, all of a sudden you get this tiny little text. You can't see it
right
on the screen. So the word for word accuracy within the JSON transcript format lets you avoid that entire debate. You just fit as many words as you want.
Mm-hmm. That sounds reasonable.
Yeah. So you got two ways in which the JSON file format is superior. But at the same time, you have this other debate, which is getting mixed in, which is almost like subtle. It's like under the covers here, which is should the namespace dictate the format or just the delivery?
Oh, okay. Well, I can give you my immediate thinking is it should not dictate the format at all.
Agreed. I agree.
That's up to the developer.
Just dictate the protocol for delivery, yes. Not the final format of the file delivery.
Agreed. Not how it's.
It would be like saying it would be like the namespace declaring which audio format you need to use for your enclosure.
Right. Got it.
But I think that's because that was part of the debate as well, is like, well, you know, why do we need three of these formats supported in the namespace? I think, you know, really there's always going to be new formats of things over time. We should probably make it more clear in the namespace documentation that those are examples, mm-hmm. not limitations.
Okay. So a couple of questions, some practical things, because, you know, of course, this should have probably been done a long time ago, this conversation, because a lot of people's processes and things are set up. And, you know, I'm not sure about everyone, but I know that I'm pretty set in my ways. I've got stuff going. If I have to change, what will it break? You know, there's all these questions. And then does that mean, oh, just to make sure, I got to put four different ones in? This is what I'm always worried about.
Yep. Well, I mean, the long time ago thing, like this... This is another reason why it's good on occasion to slow down and go at a slower pace, because sometimes you can't anticipate these sorts of things over time. Now, the line length thing has been debated for a while, okay. But then like sometimes there crops up a certain strain of thinking down the line, let's just say 6 months down the line of a thing that you're doing. Mm-hmm. And it's like, huh, well now that's an interesting thing that I never thought of. So like sometimes I guess speed here can be an enemy as well.
Well, just so you know, speed does not kill. The sudden lack of speed, that's what usually kills.
Yes, it does. Just try.
I would caution people then. The one thing I don't like when I see these debates is when someone says, well, you know, only 0.5% of all podcasts actually have transcripts. So what are we talking about here? And that's a very accurate depiction of the voice, whoever that was.
No, I've heard that guy. Yeah, I know that guy. Mm-hmm.
And that I always find is like that's such a buzzkill when someone does that. It's like, you know, come on.
What I always think about when I hear people say this, only such and such percent of podcasts do X. My thinking is always immediately, well, only like less than 1% of podcasts are any good anyway.
And you're listening to it right here.
Yeah. And this 99% of podcasts suck. So I mean, like. Okay.
Okay. All right. So I guess the real question is, well, maybe we should bring in our boardroom guests, because this is automatically going to flow it over into some other conversations, and they have some more new stuff that they've deployed for a while let me see, where am I here? That needs to be discussed, because it's also kind of exciting stuff. And they've been in the boardroom before. It's very nice to have them back. They are, without a doubt, one of the biggest supporters of Podcasting 2.0, the entire project from the get-go. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome two esteemed gentlemen, the Honorable Misfits, Kevin Finn and Tom Rossi from Buzzsprout.
Heck yeah. You guys have us on mute this whole time. I'm like screaming into my microphone. I've got opinions on this stuff.
Right.
Well, hold on. We didn't bring in here for opinions, just to promote stuff.
Yeah. It's fair to categorize you guys as ambassadors from the Fortress of Freedom.
I love it.
Of course, you know, Fortress of Freedom, which is in the basement of the Hall of Justice. So that's.
Yes.
So, I mean, what is your yelling opinion, Kevin?
Oh my gosh. Well, first, shadow ban. I'm trying to tell you the word over and over again. I got to get it.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah.
I'm
sorry.
I don't think I'm shadow banned. I disagree. It's not shadow banned. I'm not playing along with the money game. So I get deprioritized.
I agree. I just wanted to help
find
the word that Dave was looking for.
Thank you.
Even if it was the wrong word.
Yes.
So yeah, I got the transcript stuff. I think you're
Kevin,
right about,
Kevin, tell them the origin of the 32 character limit.
Oh, you don't want to know where it came from.
Now you guys did transcripts very early on. I mean, you supported the namespace and everything from, you know, almost from the get go. So I'm not quite sure if it was the chicken or the egg. I know that all of a sudden I was using otter.ai, which is really, really weak. In its AI capability, but I'm just using it. It kind of works. I know the workflow, but I think it's all. I've always output SRT. Was that not the genesis of what we were using?
It is. Yeah, you're exactly right. And that is where the 32 character limit came in too, because that was their default. When you exported an SRT from Otter, their defaults were 2 lines, 32 characters.
Right.
So there's no standard around that. You can make an SRT 64, I mean, whatever number you want, and as many lines as you want. But because there was no standard, we had to choose something. And a lot of people were using Otter at the time. So we just said, let's just use whatever their default is.
Mm, okay.
And Dave made a really good point, which is you can always go to a lower fidelity, but you can't go to a higher fidelity. And so that was, mm-hmm. you know, the issue with, you know, some of the conversation, like the JSON allows you to just, you could do it per word or you could do it per phrase. It just gives you a higher fidelity transcript. And I think from there you can go to any SRT. So for Buzzsprout, we can go to any SRT as long as we have a high enough fidelity transcript to, you know, to get there.
Well, is SRT limited to the 32 characters? Is that the problem?
No, like Kevin said, there's no standard for
here's the problem though. The SRT file itself can be anything, but in the namespace it says SRT max characters per line 32.
This is supposed to be helpful to be able to
provide some sort of structure for app developers so they would know what to expect. If they downloaded one SRT and it had 64 characters a line, and then they downloaded another one and had 32, then their code becomes much more complicated trying to figure out how to display the stuff.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Now, should we just go in there and say, parenthetical, right? It says max characters per line 32 in parentheses out to the side. Just a suggestion.
Well, I'm looking at Otter, and Otter, you can output 1 to 10 lines. That's your output option, and max characters 5 to 200. So they don't even get you to the one word resolution.
No, but their default. So their standard, if you haven't customized it before, their default was 32 and 2 lines.
Yes, correct.
And then you can change it from there.
Yeah.
And so,
but the transcripts we're seeing now are much higher fidelity down to the word, and that's where the JSON makes more sense. It's a better format for being able to share transcripts.
All right, but so all I'm saying is there's no JSON output on Otter, so I'm gonna have to make a change. I'm happy to do, but you know one little change, you know, you do a couple degrees on the rudder, and this whole ship has to go, and it takes a long time for people to get into it. So I'm just saying caution of whatever we decide or whatever we want to get to.
Well, that's the beauty of the way the spec's written is you can do them all. So if you go to a Buzzsprout transcript, you'll see them in any format we can support. So even if you upload an SRT, we'll make it available as an SRT and as JSON.
Well, you guys are just the goody goodies of the class, aren't you?
Hey, I thought this was humble brag time. So,
who does word for word JSON? Like what platforms Descript output is the, that?
Descript is the one that we integrate with currently that gives us the per word.
And you can also get it out of Whisper as well.
Whisper, so I don't know. That's okay.
Yeah, I mean, you can just run Whisper on your own computer and punch out mm-hmm. JSON. So, I mean, AI is changing transcription. So like Otter, Rev, for years, they were just looking at the waveform itself and trying to pick up like the audio artifacts and figure out words from them.
Yeah.
And now AI is improving upon that because now they can use, once they transcribe the first 10 minutes of an hour long episode, they can look at the first 10 minutes and start guessing what words are coming next, even if the artifacts are a little bit messy or the audio is not really clean. Mm. So AI is helping transcription get more accurate. And that's what we're seeing with things like Whisper and stuff like that. And the output from those, like when you go to a web service or something, you'll be limited by the UI. But if you download and install Whisper on your own servers, run it yourself, you can get whatever you want out of it.
But I say just common denominator. I would say that most people are just going to use whatever their podcasting host uses. I mean, if I'm completely independent, which I am, then that's my issue to go figure that out. Right. I mean, that's just how it works. If either go with the big flow and the big ships, or you do it your own and you roll along however you want to. So I just thought it was interesting, this long, long thread, like, okay. And really we don't have in this group, we don't have the app developers and what I want to see is what Martin was doing. I guess that the answer is JSON word for word. That's the most flexible for app developers and people who make experiences to have that resolution, and they can always go up, go down, or whatever they want for whatever the app, however they want to display it.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I think.
All right. Yeah, so, you decided.
You don't in.
That's my
lock it
meeting.
Lock it in.
It's right. Yeah, problem so.
Closed. Issue closed.
What, I'm going to open it again. For another reason. Music's match. This company, they seem to have done, they're like involved with lyrics and stuff. It's M-U-S-I-X-M-A-T-C-H, Music's Match. I know that they are contacting podcast apps to try to get them to integrate their transcripts into the app. And I guess I'm a little conflicted. I mean, there's some, because the transcript is not in the RSS feed, so this would be coming from a third-party service, and which initially made me, I don't know, I didn't like that. But I don't know that I necessarily see a huge problem with it either. I don't know. Does anybody have thoughts on that? Because I don't know. I don't like the fact that it's not in the feed.
No, that to me is exactly the same as calling YouTube podcast. There's no feed going in, no feed coming out. No, I'm against that. It's outside of the spec.
Yeah. Okay.
And I think it's great that they're offering that, but why do they, I'm not quite sure. First of all, what's their business model? How does that work? I mean, that I presume they're not offering it for free.
Yeah. That was my thing is I don't understand where they seem to be VC funded. And I don't know what the play is. And I know that I would rather than if there, it would make more sense and be more in the spirit of openness if they would do integrations with hosting companies if they want to provide that service and then just get the things into the feed the proper way.
Yeah, so. I mean, this is exactly where it comes down to with open podcasting versus everything else. And particularly if it's to me, it sounds like VC funded. Okay, we're going to get as much market share as we can. And I can see where it's very attractive to a podcast app to have transcripts for everything that runs through their engine, which is fine. But if I come along and say, here's my transcript and here's how I'd like you to show it, then I think that needs to be respected. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
And then you'll find out when the bill comes. The bill always comes from the VC guys. One way or the other, the bill will come.
Nathan said that they do host integration. But I know that. But I mean, at least one case that I know of, they were talking directly to the app developer to say, "Hey, we can provide transcripts for episodes that are not that don't have a transcript in the feed."
I can see that as being valid. But beware, if I didn't have a transcript in my feed. And now in app A, there's transcripts running and then brought to you by Bud Light. You know, then, okay, then you're going to piss me off.
These transcripts, it's like on sports when they, you know, the end zone is brought to you by Liberty Mutual.
Right. I mean, you know, so that's where we just got to be careful. That's all. But I don't see a problem in general if an app wants to have transcripts for all of their for a while there does Fountain even show transcripts at all? I can't find them. I don't think they showed transcripts
that I know of.
They were doing their own thing. If you wanted to clip and then you'd have to wait 2 hours for the transcript to finish, at least with my shows, my overly long shows, and then you could get a transcript and then you could clip it. That I don't know where that went, if that's still around or not, but I can see where a service like that makes it attractive. Just please, you know, respect the source of truth. If my feed comes along and I have my transcript in there, you've got to respect it.
Kill it, yeah. Kill the
auto thing. Stuff. Yeah.
I agree. It does. Kevin, does Buzzsprout have the Obamas yet? Have y'all had a shot at them? I mean, they seem to be going around.
By the way, if I can just say,
no.
I just want everyone to understand what kind of deal this is. There seems to be some kind of confusion. This is a library deal, right? This is the old stuff. This is nothing new. It's not like the Obamas are creating new stuff and it's going to be on Acast. This is all the old stuff.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yes. And I think, and they still have their Audible deal. Audible has, you know, will have them exclusive for X amount of time, and then Acast can sell them in the on the open market. So the Bruce Springsteen and Barack Obama are not going to work for Acast ad money. Okay, I'm just going to tell you that right now.
I have to correct James on that. Is he made a mention that this is. It's not about money. It's about they just want to have openness and get their ideas out there.
Yeah, right. Okay,
look, I can tell you that Barack Obama throws $100,000 birthday parties.
Yeah.
Believe, guys, this is about money. Okay?
It's definitely about money.
The show is a dog, too, man. It's just horrible. Yeah. I'm sure they're shopping it around because nobody wants it.
Well, I wouldn't want to say that. But actually, the Hollywood Reporter had a pretty good pretty good report on it, and they said Higher Ground production company founded by Barack and Michelle Obama has struck its latest audio deal with podcasting platform Acast will handle ad sales and distribution for Higher Ground's library of podcasts. So it's all the stuff that was already on Spotify, etc.
Was it exclusive to Spotify before this deal?
Yes, except Michelle Obama, they ran into such problems with filling the inventory that they actually opened that up for a while. The Michelle Obama podcast was certainly available everywhere. If it's not still is, it was.
Because it's boring.
But, you know, it is.
We probably should look at it as a win for open podcasting, right?
Yes.
Is that they tried to keep it in a closed ecosystem and it wasn't able to accomplish what they wanted.
Correct.
Whatever that might be. And so now they're coming out into the better waters that we promote all the time, open podcasting.
If anything, it's a huge, it's great PR for Acast. I'm sure they can use it. And that's why they're spinning it kind of like, they're coming to us. No, okay. The library is being dropped off at the front door in a cardboard box, but at the same time, it's a PR disaster for Spotify. I think.
I don't think it's a win.
They lost.
It's definitely not a win for Spotify because it shows that Spotify wasn't. They had this great asset that they weren't able to capitalize on.
Yeah. Guess what? You need every part of the ecosystem to make money on advertising. As far as I'm concerned. I think you need more than just one player, which is what their intent was all along, and that didn't work. And then everybody bailed with parachutes made of various degrees of metal, and we'll see how they do.
All right, Tom, we got to talk about about subscriptions.
Subscriptions,
yes. So Buzzsprout's doing subscriptions, but me and you have been talking about. Converting what you've got to something open that is implementable as a spec across anybody who wants to do it.
Am I wrong or is this namespace talk, right?
Oh yeah.
Ooh.
It's namespace talk.
I didn't hear it, but
it's not hot namespace talk. Okay. There's four dudes here. You're not going to get no hot namespace talk jingle from me. Let's see how heated you can get it. And then we'll see if you roll that in.
And now it's time for some hot namespace talk.
Kevin turned on the aural exciter. I don't know much hotter he's supposed to get than that. We'll see. So the spec that we sort of had in mind that we've been rolling around with for a while ended up being very similar to what y'all did. And so, you know, the idea is being that you would have a single feed, and the feed would have the subscription content in it. So you don't have to have like two feeds, like a private feed that nobody's, everything's in the feed. And anyway, so y'all did it. And I think the only real difference really was that we were thinking more, in terms of infrastructure. You sort of took a web first handshake type approach. Do you just want to like run through it real quick on a technical level and just say what exactly y'all did and how it works?
Sure. The way that Buzzsprout subscriptions works, we actually put the premium content in the RSS feed with, you know, kind of as like a little teaser of there's an episode that you could get access to if you wanted to support the show, and get access to it. Then you can hit that same RSS feed, but pass in a token. Or you could think of it as just, it is a private RSS feed, but the URL is the same as the normal RSS, but it also includes a token to uniquely identify the listener. So that way you can verify that they have an active subscription. And then all of that content will be unlocked. So you can see it all in your private RSS feed. So what you and I were talking about was, how can we make this more of a standard that other podcast hosts could follow and also podcast players could take advantage of? So that way, you know, it's not a great experience right now in Apple to, you know, to take that RSS feed and drop it in. Like, we could make it better. We could make it easier through just a link right from the RSS feed that takes you directly to verify that you have ownership or that you have a private RSS feed, and then it redirects you back to that private RSS feed. So that's kind of what we've been talking about.
So here was my experience the first time I did this, the first time I tried it with a Buzzsprout subscription feed. And so I was on Cast-O-Matic, and it was Pod News weekly review. So this was not, it wasn't subscription, but they, it wasn't like private content that you had to unlock, but it was subscription enabled. So what had happened was James had put the subscription page URL for the web, sort of web-based subscription mechanism, he had put that into the funding tag. So at the bottom of Cast-O-Matic, when I'm listening to the episode, Franco has the little funding tag icon there. So I tap it. I didn't even really know that this was going to happen. I'm just kind of like intuitively just trying this, figure this out. I hit the funding tag button. It opens a web view in Cast-O-Matic, and there's the subscription page right there. And it's like, you know, how much do you want to donate? Do you want to donate $3, $5, $10 a month? And I was like, oh, okay, I'll do $10. I later changed it to $3 because, you know, it's James. But I did the $10, and one of the options for paying was Apple Pay. So I'm like, okay, it's cool. I double click the power button, do the Apple Pay checkout, and it's like, okay, great, you're done. And then the web view closes, and I'm back in the app. I never left the app really from the experience. I mean, technically I did, but in experience wise, I didn't. So that, I think that was all enabled by the fact that the sign up screen, so to speak, the sign up page was in the funding tag. But if we're doing this as a complete open subscription sort of idea, then that link to do the subscription, if it's a UI web UI based, you know, you are just a URL on the web, should probably be moved somewhere else into the feed where it makes more sense, I would think. Because the funding tag, you know, is like loosely connected. Go ahead.
The way that we did subscriptions, you can do premium content or you don't have to do premium content. So if you don't do premium content, then the funding tag does exactly what we want to do, right? If you want to support the show, you can click on the link that's in your funding tag, pick your amount, and you're off to the races. If it's premium content, that feels like something different. And that's where I think we should introduce another tag, which would be some type of authorization URL to
the Spotify tag. How about that?
To be able to access the premium content for that RSS feed.
Yeah, that's a good point. So if you have premium content where you have to pay for it to listen to it, then that link to buy it should be in some, like you said, it should be in its own tag. Or somewhere else that makes more sense than just funding, because funding's disconnected.
But the player needs to hear something back from the whoever's going to authorize, charge the credit card, verify the payment, whatever. Like Cast-O-Matic, for example, would need to hear back, what is the private RSS feed? And so that's where I think if we could introduce into the namespace some way of doing webhooks, some type of standard for doing webhooks, we could use that same methodology for the verifying ownership of a podcast where, you know, because it kind of got, the conversation got derailed when it started to get into OAuth, and that's kind of a complicated structure. We could do something so much simpler and just do a webhook where They make a request to the API. We verify that they have ownership, and then we just hit the webhook and pass in, you know, the parameter to let them know here. Yeah, they're verified. Or we let them know here's the private RSS feed, rather than, you know, building too much infrastructure for the players to implement.
I like that idea. Can we just have a general system like that, that is an authorization system with a webhook for anything that we might need?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's what we're talking about. We're just talking about a generic callback system and then letting people get creative about how they want to use it.
And it can be any payment system, any type of, that makes a lot, which would also be great just for general verification. This is my feed, right?
Yep.
So that, then they could go to the host and say, and then basically you provide the URL. So for example, let's say that it was a verification tag. So you put in the URL. In this case, it would be a Buzzsprout URL. So now when they click on that, or the player goes to that link and pulls up the page to display to the user would then log into their Buzzsprout account, and then it verifies that they're the owner and then calls the callback URL and passes in, yes, they've been authorized.
I think something like that is pretty interesting.
And then you could do that same thing for the premium content, where now it goes out to the host, it goes to Buzzsprout, they log in, and then we send back the RSS feed, the private RSS feed that is unique to that user, so they can get access to the premium content.
Boot! Dave says he'll be right back. He had to reboot. Oh, no. But that's good, because that gives me complete control of the board. I think... Obviously, you know that I'm the idea of premium content, it's like, I don't like it, but that's okay, because I don't want to stand in the way of anything. That's why I love the concept of the webhook that can be used for, I mean, because I would love to have a way to, we got you back, brother, to support any podcast on a weekly or a monthly basis. Or, I mean, seriously, even how cool would it be is, if my app detects that my favorite podcast has released a new episode, that I automatically fire off a payment. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that I would really love to have. Whether it's premium or not, in my case, it wouldn't be. But I like the idea of, new episode, immediate support. And it would, and of course, I would like to do it with Satoshis instead of with any fiat currency. If we can accomplish all of that with a general webhook system that we put into the namespace, man, you got a champion in me.
I think what we would be able to do is just define for each of the different scenarios, what would the webhook response look like? So for example, if it was authorization, they would get a JSON response back that says authorization true. You know, we define the parameter and the values that are going to come back. If it was a request for a private RSS feed, what comes back is, you know, private RSS feed and then the URL. But we would just define those standards, and now all the players could implement it however they want. And all the hosts could implement it any way they want.
I like that idea. I don't see any downside to it. I only see wins.
Yeah. Well, Adam, what's your take on private RSS feeds? Not like premium content, but like whatever. Toyota wants to do a podcast for all their employees only. So they need some way to authorize that.
Oh, I mean, I think that to me is that's a sale for you, right? You'll be selling to Toyota that capability if you can make it work in every podcast app. Fantastic. I completely understand and agree with doing that. Just from a business perspective, from a open podcasting perspective, from what I think works, and seeing that every single stream, we went down this road with streaming television, right? Everyone's losing. Everybody is losing. Paramount lost $3 billion. They've got content. Everyone's losing this game, mainly because you get exactly to the point which brought us here in the first place, is no one can afford to have a subscription, a paid subscription for a month or whatever it is, for every single piece of content they like. Then you have to make shitty decisions. Well, okay, I can't afford to have this, so I have to cut myself off. I can't have Disney because I can't afford it, and Hulu and Netflix and Paramount Plus and all that stuff. That's just my opinion. That I think history shows it. But there's reasons to have private feeds.
It seems like the on the private feed thing, there's our original discussion around open subscription was avoided in order to avoid private feeds. So that was like the original as sort of conceptualized was the podcast app does some sort of payment handshake. It kicks out, you do the payment, you set up the subscription, and then what gets handed back to the app is some sort of token. And then the app itself stores the token and sends the token as a parameter with the enclosure download request so that you don't actually have to have a separate private feed. And that comes from the sort of messiness of trying to police private feeds, because that's the only downside of a private feed or tokenized feed URLs is that if they get loose, you have to kill them. I mean, I think most of these services like, Substack and was it Supercast and these kinds of services that generate that do a lot of those private feeds. I think they also usually have a mechanism in place to where if they detect that it's getting hit from multiple geolocations, they kill it and recycle a new feed and things like that. So that in order to avoid that messiness, you could have the app itself could store the token and then send it back. But then you require the app.
You know where this conversation always ends up, Dave? DRM. That's where it always ends. Watch. It always ends in DRM. It always does.
Well, but the app has to store it, or something.
Yeah, but the way you're describing it is pretty much the way it works. The only thing that's happening is you're passing in the token. So what happens is when you make the request to Buzzsprout, for example, if we were to implement it the way I proposed, when you make the request to Buzzsprout, what it's sending back to you is essentially the token, right? Because if that value were to get out to the public, well, then anybody could go hit it and they could download anything they want. And that token is only as valid as that person is paying for their subscription. So it's pretty much, if you look at the URL, that's what it is you're passing in the token with your request.
It's basically
I'm just
LSAT.
Trying to build on a standard rather than like, cause there's already a way for example, for Apple Podcasts to be able to load a private RSS feed, but they don't really have a way to deal with tokens. So What we do is we just attach the token to the URL. So in the enclosure URL, you're passing the token with your request. And that's really the big difference in the RSS feed is that it includes your tokens.
Which I think is just a good compromise. It makes a lot of sense to do it that way. Cause it's not such a heavy lift for the app because you're just moving.
Right.
You're sort of moving things up the stack a little bit to where it's primarily a web handshake and less of a sort of lower level infrastructure handshake where the app has to do a bunch of negotiation. The only thing is how if that's how it goes. So if the idea here is to have a purely in-app experience where the user does not have to manually do an interaction. So what you would want in that case is if it's premium content, you'd want to kick out to a web view, do the transaction, and then hand back the tokenized private feed URL. You'd want to hand that back to the app in some way so that the app knows to swap out the feed that it has in storage already with the new one.
So that's the webhook. So the webhook is the app telling the service, hey, after they've completed their payment, call this URL and pass in the tokenized URL. So that way you can pass it back to Castomatic or whatever the player is.
So, but is there a way to do it that I never really got a satisfactory answer to this when I posted about it on the Mastodon is there a way to hand that back from the web view where you don't have to have a second request?
I don't believe so because that would be a big security risk because that would mean that the app is monitoring what you're doing on the website that's not their website. So Castomatic is monitoring what you're doing on Buzzsprout. So I think that there's no way for the web view to pass that information back. That's where the webhook comes in. So a webhook is a way for us to pass it back the same way it came to us. It came to us as an HTTP request. We can send it back to them through an HTTP request.
So it's not like there's no there's no capacity for something like a return value from a web view. Or an exit code.
I don't believe so. But I'm not a mobile. Okay. I'm not a mobile guy.
Okay, because that's really the only part that gets tricky. I mean, like if you can give it back, then that's like effortless.
Yeah, but
you don't even need the webhook then.
Well, yeah, that's true. But if the webhook is a mechanism, I think that anybody could take advantage of, right? Like any of the players that are out there, they could make. Or they could receive a HTTP request as long as they have a server that they can receive it. So now they get that private feed and they can just swap it out for the one, you know, that they were currently on before.
So when you're saying webhook, you're talking about the app side is receiving the hook.
So, okay. So if Cast-O-Matic is the player and somebody wants to authorize ownership or they want to, you know, subscribe to premium content, then it goes to a Buzzsprout URL. But when they call Buzzsprout, they say, when you're done doing your thing, here's a URL or a web hook. I want you to call this URL when you're done and tell me what happened. So now Buzzsprout does its thing. It authenticates or it does it at Apple Pay. And once it's done, it calls that webhook and says, hey, we're done and everything went great. Or it calls the webhook and it says, we're done and the credit card didn't get approved, whatever. And so we pass that information back to the app. And so then the app can do whatever it wants to do.
So that, yeah, because that's going to be a problem for Cast-O-Matic because they don't, he Franco has no server infrastructure at all. Period.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's
so
purely
he doesn't have the ability to receive device. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the issue. So for those Nathan says apps can definitely inject their own JavaScript into web views. Well, if that's the case, you would think they could get those things back. I mean, like for many podcast apps, I mean, I'm going to say a lot of them, they would have the capability to receive the hook, but there's going to be some out there that don't. And like Cast-O-Matic, where it's purely everything happens on device.
If they can inject their own JavaScript, then the webhook could be a URL, a local URL. You know what I mean? To the JavaScript.
Yeah. Okay.
But that's the mechanism we're talking about building. But what we would need is an app developer to kind of weigh in on that. Cause I'm a web developer and, they'll have a different approach to it.
Yeah.
That's what I just came up with. And this is specifically for, you know, giving access to premium content, but building a webhook infrastructure that we could use in other areas as well.
Let's talk about the other areas before I fall asleep over this tantalizing token talk.
Come on, dude. This was hot namespace talk.
Not really.
We got webhooks. Mm-hmm. Got JavaScript.
So this kind of folds into, because we've now discussed two things that were with this webhook round robin infrastructure for TXT. Both things that are part of the Pod Standards project, which I believe you guys are one of the driving forces behind. It's a little unclear because I'm not quite sure. You know, why don't you tell us about that?
Tell you about the Podcast Standards Project?
Not so much about this. I think everyone who's listening knows what the Standards Project is, but what's driving it? Who's driving it? Where are we at? Where's the wallet for me to contribute to it?
I have it. Good. I wanted to bring it to you live and accept your gracious gift live in person. I didn't want to send you an in-personal email.
Good, good. Well, send that to me while we're talking so I can put it in the split.
Okay, what do you want? Just like... I set it up on Albi. You just want as a get Albi address.
Just send me the get Albi user address. It works perfectly. Okay. So it was funny because, you know, we talked about this on the last episode about how, you know, we're kind of the fighters running around on the front lines. We've got the diplomats and the politicians, but we want to help fund them. And then subsequently, it seems like one of the main, you know, first topics of the PSP 0.9 is transcripts, and everyone's yelling and screaming over at podcastindex.social about it. So I'm just trying, which is fine. I'm just trying to figure out when does some, how do, what's the mechanism? How is it going to flow through? When does something get written up? Who writes it up? You know, what are the inner workings of this? Because I've seen a lot of these projects. Actually, I missed 10 years of these projects. I wasn't invited into them. I wouldn't have gone anyway. And they usually turn out to be a dud. And so I want to do everything I can to help everyone make this successful, because I do believe in the idea. But I'm like, you know, now we're a week further. There's no new blog post. There's no news. There's nothing in the GitHub that I can see specifically. What's the process? Who's driving it? Should there be a designated leader? Who do we look to? I just hear a little confusion. Certainly, I'm confused a bit.
You're confused. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Let's try to answer some of that, address some of that confusion. So I think we launched the project. It took a lot to get to that point, a lot of work. And I think a lot of the people who did a lot of the heavy lifting on that needed a week to breathe. And so I think that's why it was a little quiet. There was a lot of communication happening on the back end, and we decided that this is not how a successful project is going to work. We have to get this thing out in the open, but in order to get it out in the open, we had to put something out in the open. And when you're working with a lot of organizations and a lot of different opinions, you've got to get some sort of agreement about here's what's coming. Here's what we're going to open up. And so that's what took a long time. Now that that is done and that is out, we want this to be an open project. So in terms of, that's why we didn't come out with a 1.0 spec. We came out with a 0.9. Like here's some building blocks, and we feel like it's pretty good, and everyone involved in the project has agreed on this stuff, but now let's get it to 1.0. So we want to hear pushback. We want to hear challenges. We want to hear how can we improve it? What's lacking? There's a difference between the spec that is being proposed and the requirements to be a PSP certified provider, whether you're a listening app or a hosting company. To be compliant with the spec, you don't have to support transcripts. That's just a recommendation. It's a recommended tag. But to be a PSP certified partner, if you're like a hosting company, you have to have a UI to upload a transcript. Does that make sense? The differentiation between those two?
Yeah, sure.
Right. And so anything that's in the spec, whether it be required or recommended or situational, you have to provide a UI if you're a hosting company to do that. And if you're an app that is certified, then you have to, there's only two tags right now that you need to accommodate to be a PSP listening app. And I think that is, it's funding and transcripts, right? And so it's really, the bar is really low right now, but the idea is to set the bar low so you can start getting adoption. And then as other great ideas come in, we will do yearly reviews and say, hey, do you want to keep that PSP certification? We hope it's valuable. We hope you believe in what we believe and still want to be a part. This year, we're going to adopt XYZ. And we want that to be community driven as much as possible. We're trying to figure out right now, like at the end of the day, somebody's going to have to say, we're updating the spec to this. We want to move from 1.0 to 1.1. Well, we'll
step back one sec. Who says to Pocket Cast, y'all want to be a part of it, you've got to implement your transcripts? Who is the person that says that? I presume that person is not designated. This is what I mean. This is where things break. I mean, I'm an organizational guy. I'm a community guy. So I see these things like, okay, I understand that has to be said, but someone actually has to say it.
Right. Well, the people who are saying it right now is not just one person. It's a group of people. So it's a group of people who came together and said, hey, here's .9. Here's the certification requirements. Anybody who wants to be PSP certified has to meet these requirements. And it wasn't just Buzzsprout. It was Buzzsprout and Transistor and Red Circle and Blueberry and RSS.com. It was us speaking together and saying, we agree on this stuff. And that's enough of us have agreed that anybody else who wants to come in needs to play by these rules.
And hopefully that badge begins to mean something, for especially for people that care about open podcasting. And so then they'll ask the question, why don't you have that badge? Why aren't you doing it?
Right. So that's my point. So I see Pocket Cast coming soon. You know, yeah. Someone has to say, excuse me, you know, we're going to take you off, or we're going to take away your badge. Strip you of your credentials, cadet.
Yes, right.
No, that was great, though, because Pocket Cast was super excited about it. But they said, you guys are launching before we're going to be ready. And so we said, well, we need a commitment. Can you, what's the what's a commitment date that you feel comfortable with? And they said by the end of spring. And so we said, that's good enough, but we're going to, if you don't have it by the end of spring, your logo's coming off the site. No problem.
Yeah. My recommendation would be just, you know, y'all got a just recommendation. You need to have someone who is responsible for doing that. And it can't just be kind of like, someone's going to say, we're going to stand around in a circle and say, you're not doing it. You need a face. And I know
a hatchet man.
Yeah, yeah. You need a representative.
I think Todd wants to be that guy.
You need a representative. You really do.
Yeah.
And you know what? We kind of, Todd actually would be pretty good because Todd, as I know him, I've known him for a long time, does not give a crap. He will say, hey, you guys are no good. You got to do it. And yeah, he'll 100%. Hound him. You know, but my recommendation, that's the only thing I'm missing, is you need someone to actually be responsible for saying that. Otherwise, yeah. It's just going to linger. And I just hate that to see that happen. That's all. I just hate to see that happen.
The approach makes sense, I think, because if you look at, let's just say mobile apps, for instance, I mean, mobile app developers are used to this sort of annual cadence anyway. I mean, iOS, the new version of iOS comes out each year and the new version of Android comes out each year. And whenever that happens, things older APIs are deprecated, newer APIs come out. And so they have to at least change things annually on a rolling basis anyway. So if you make the bar low enough to where you say, okay, well, you know, it's been a year. Now we're going to add this extra tag. You know, it's just, maybe it's just one extra thing, you know, that's not a big hurdle. I don't think.
Agreed. No, you're absolutely right. So, I mean, the reason I mentioned Todd, he was very involved in helping us get to the point that we are, and he's drafted up some membership requirements. He was just talking about them on a show this week, and we need to figure out how we get those adopted, and put into place so that we have that person who's running around and telling everybody, hey, here's the new tags. Here's where we're moving. I don't know. In a lot of ways, it's easier in some of these open source type projects when you have the benevolent dictator, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. We don't have one. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, what's the system right now?
I thought I was the benevolent dictator.
I was going to say.
You are.
I think you are.
Someone has the commit key. You know, that's right. That's ultimately what it is.
That's right. The benevolent dictator.
Yeah.
Whoever can commit to, for example, for the PSP, what is going to be that first spec that everyone agrees to meet? Somebody's got to make the call on what we're going to agree to.
Okay. So, well, like, we're trying to build this. Let me ask a philosophical question because this is going to come up right now. So YouTube has come up with something they call podcasts, which turns my stomach because it's not. However, is it okay for any hosting company who was on this list to integrate with YouTube without it actually going through their RSS feed, but just to pump shit up into their infrastructure, therefore literally ruining the thing that PSP stands for?
Is it okay for them to do that?
If you're on this list, it's about open podcasting. It's right. Literally about these companies, Spotify, YouTube, and to a degree Apple, that are off doing this. I'm reading the document, but if everyone's going to go ahead and say, well, you know, but you know, my people really want to be, everyone's going to be on YouTube, you're kind of breaking the whole idea.
Your question is out of scope.
Well, and I think you're doing what YouTube wants us to do, which is to conflate podcasting with what they're doing, and it's not. If somebody takes their content and puts it up on YouTube, I don't see that as part of their podcast. I see them as having a podcast, which is their RSS feed, and, oh, by the way, they've posted their content on YouTube. But I don't see that as a podcast.
I'm talking about hosting companies integrating to make one click to go from your hosting company into YouTube. Would you agree with me that is counterintuitive to the mission?
I don't think so, unless they abandon the RSS feed, unless they no longer distribute the content over an RSS feed.
Hmm.
But making that same content available in other places, I don't think that that's violating this.
Do you think it's promoting?
But maybe they'll vote me out.
Well, I'm just saying, do you feel that that is not promoting a closed system that is not part of the RSS ecosystem as described in the Podcast Standards Project?
I don't know. I don't know. I think if I saw it as a threat, I just don't see it that way. I don't see YouTube as a threat. I see YouTube, and now YouTube could be a threat if they, if content was only showing up there, but I don't see them as a threat. I don't think
they, well, who is the threat then? Who is the threat to the open podcast? Let's name them. Who is a threat to the open podcast ecosystem?
Because any any podcast that it doesn't have an RSS feed. So a company that launches tomorrow and they have their own audio content, but the only way to listen to it is through their app. Well, that's not part of...
Isn't that exactly what YouTube is doing? They're saying, upload your podcast to us. And,
yeah, that's why YouTube will never be a member of PSP. Like, they'll never want this. Mm. But for people to integrate with them, I don't know. Mm.
Okay.
No. Well, I mean, I guess your poster child example would be Spotify for podcasters, formerly known as Anchor, which they disable RSS feeds by default. That would be an example of definitely something that's it's hostile to open podcasting. Yeah. It's not impossible, but it is at least open podcasting hostile.
Yeah. But that's kind of like what Kevin was talking about, and where we're trying to, like, let's figure out what are the requirements. What can we agree to? Because if we set the bar too high and then there's only one or two members, well, then we're really not a strong group to go advocate. So we're trying to raise the bar. But we have to do that in a way by first getting some type of ground level that we can all start with.
No, yeah. It makes sense. I mean,
but it's taken a while. I mean, for sure, you guys were there when we first brought up, you know, the idea of doing some type of group like this. And I know others have been critical about how long it took for us to be able to communicate anything, but we had to get critical mass. Like, we had to get enough people that could get on board with it before, otherwise it would just die on the vine.
So one thing I know that's been a constant thorn is DAI and how it impacts all of this other stuff. Like, is there been any like flexibility on that, or is everybody just like, no, our DAI thing is just what it is, and we're not going to change it. We're not going to modify anything about the way it works.
Yeah, more of that. It's been. Yeah, whenever we run into an element that breaks DAI, it's kind of a, like,
everything grinds to a halt. Yeah.
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 And so we figured the best way to get something out there was just to stay away from those landmines at first. We're going to have to address them at some point.
I had this experience. I was listening to a new media show yesterday. And so it's got a pre-roll. In this pre-roll, like, I thought that I'd accidentally messed my app up, because I heard this water trickling, like, it's just water running. I'm like, what? And have I switched to Spotify on accident? What did I do? And so I flip back and it's Castomatic and it's playing, and I'm like, okay. And then somebody's voice comes up. So it's a pre-roll ad for a spa. And so it had this, and it was like, this moment of relaxation has been brought to you by spa so-and-so. And I was like, oh, okay, well, that's okay. Unbeknownst to me, it's a local company. So it was like, you know, the spa, you know, the best spa in Birmingham, Alabama. And I was like, and I thought, okay, it creeped me out. It really creeped me out, because we all know that this happens. We all know that targeting is primarily geolocation based and that kind of thing. It's not a surprise that exists and that's a thing, but it is creepy because it just reinforces this idea that, okay, this software on my phone, it knows where I'm at. Like, of course it does. There's a sense in which you could say, yeah, of course the thing knows where you're at. The whole phone knows where you're at. But when it kind of throws it in your face and it's saying, yeah, I really know where you're at. I'm actually watching to know. I'm actively wanting to know where you are. I don't know. I found the whole thing, just to comment on DAI in general, just found the whole thing very creepy. And it's the first time that's actually happened.
It's one thing when you open up the Maps app or something that is used, like, it's asking permission to use your location.
Yes.
You understand, right? Like, I'm giving this app permission to use my location. It's another thing in podcast apps when they might have it buried in their terms of service or privacy policy somewhere that they'll use your location based on your IP, but you're not reading that stuff. I never gave Castomatic permission, and it's not even Castomatic's fault. It's whoever's serving up the podcast and then handing off my IP to some ad server somewhere.
Exactly.
Yes. I never gave it permission to do that. So that feels like a violation.
Just a question on the DAI a minute. Has everyone figured out, will everybody be supporting transcripts resyncing after an ad insertion, which screws everything up?
Yeah. See, that's where it gets very difficult, because are we going to say that the PS, like DAI, we think it's creepy, we don't do it. Do we make that a requirement to be part of the advocacy for open podcasting? Because that will exclude.
But that's not what that's what I'm asking. I'm asking is, can, if you, okay, maybe it is what I'm asking.
Yeah, if indirectly, it's what you're asking. Yeah, because if you do DAI, it's very difficult. Like, I understand that I pushed hard. I wanted chapters to be included in the spec.
Well, how about let's just stick with transcripts. Transcripts get thrown off too.
Yeah, transcripts and chapters both require shifting based on dynamic content, which is what Buzzsprout does. Whenever we insert dynamic content, we shift the transcripts and we shift. But it's easier for us because ours are more baked in. We're not, you know, looking that you're in Birmingham, Alabama and inserting 45-second ad. So I think that's going to be a point of contention, is are we going to be able to get those things that require shifting timestamps and stuff like that? Are we going to get those included in the pod standards? I don't know.
I think it's, this is not hard. I think what happened, it's not because the technology to do it can't be thought of. It's because there are third party services out there that hosting companies have integrated with that do this type of thing. And they don't accommodate it well. And so, like, if the third parties that provided DAI, that if they did a better job of tagging and slotting and that kind of thing in a way that is, that the hosting company could then know about and shift timestamps for, this would be a non-issue. But I think there's a disconnect between the third party DAI providers and the hosting companies that are calling out to them to insert the ads. That's where the breakdown occurs. I think it's just a willpower issue.
Yeah.
It's like, are we going, do we have the willpower to work with people to fix this over time?
So this is where I think the podcasting 2.0 movement that you guys have started can really help, because as people that join that community are innovating and they're doing cool stuff, well, if you're not using the transcript tag or if you're not using the chapters, then you're not going to be able to do that cool stuff. That's going to put pressure on groups to be able to do those things, which is going to help us adopt that as a standard, because now we can point to it and say, look, that, don't you want to do that? That's what you got to do to be able to meet the standard.
Yeah.
So that's why I think they feed
each other. You got to explain that to me again. What do we have to do?
What you're doing is great. What you're doing is innovating and coming up with those things so that as they get more adoption, we can point to them and say, look, that's what you've got to do, right? Like, that's what people want. And we can make that part of our standard, but we've got to get enough people on our standard, have the appetite or the willpower to implement it.
No, I think the market takes care of that for itself. I mean, yeah. I don't want to tell anybody what to do. But if I have transcripts and my audience enjoys my transcripts and the hosting company I'm using screws them up with DAI, then I'll probably find a better DAI provider. And I think the market solved that. I don't think that we need to tell anybody.
Yeah. Well, but what podcasting 2.0 did was provide the way for that to happen, right? If you guys didn't do the transcript tag, if you didn't advocate for that and get some adoption, the market wouldn't even know,
right?
You know what I mean?
Well, then it's solved. Then whoever doesn't do that, eventually people will say, I don't like it, and they'll leave and they'll go somewhere else.
Right.
Because transcript,
that way, I mean, that's,
the hope. I thought transcript was solved. I mean, we're still working on it, but, and once we get down to the right resolution and everything, you know, I hope everyone implements it and everyone tries to make it as synchronized as possible with the actual audio.
Yeah. The syncing with the audio is because it's like we're having debates about word level synchronization or sentence level synchronization when one ad slot comes by and the whole thing is way off, is 10 seconds, 30 seconds off anyway. And that's just it. The I see it as a disregard.
If you're a hosting provider and you provide transcripts and you provide ad insertions, you need to solve that.
I don't think they do. Yeah, I think if you're doing dynamic ads, you're not doing transcripts.
No, but you do both. You just said you did.
Right, we do.
Yeah.
But okay. I'm saying the people that we're talking about, we're not calling out anybody by name, but the people that we're talking about, that's what they're not providing transcripts.
Right.
So I don't think that the problem is that they're not shifted correctly. I think it's just they're just not providing transcripts.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, if they start to provide transcripts, then they need to do that properly. Otherwise, people say it's not good.
Yeah.
Because that's the big pushback that happens with, I mean, as Marco said it on that podcast that time, he's like, well, if you get chapters and transcripts, they're great. But then as soon as you get an ad slot, it screws them all up. Well, if that's the perception out there, that's really that's sloppy. You know, if that's the perception that other app developers have.
And that's my point. So if you're providing transcripts and you don't have your DAI rejigger the timing, you can't have a logo.
That's right.
All right. Yeah. That's all I wanted to hear.
The only shame we can use.
No logo for you.
Yep. Yeah. Exactly.
Can I just move the conversation to a little thing from the front lines?
Sure.
Noster. Do I hear? Mm-hmm. Did everyone go? Oh.
Yeah, I did. I mean, I'll do it. Yeah.
I'm just going to keep telling you that there's something there, and there's something going on with this, and they're working on. Their Gigi posted a very thoughtful article about how Noster zaps could be split into and to respect splits in podcasts. So, in effect, make a Noster. You could have a Noster app or payment system or mechanism that would respect the splits in the value block. You know, they call it Prism or whatever. I know that people are working on connecting podcast GUIDs to Noster identity.
Wait, what? I don't know about this. Show GUIDs?
Yes. So I could, as part of my Noster identity, I can connect anything to that. I can connect an Albi wallet. I should be able to connect my podcast GUIDs to it. These are it would be the ownership of the source of truth, I think, is what the concept is. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I'm not anti-Noster. It's just that I'm having a really hard time getting excited about it, because it's the model. The model is basically, and forgive me, I know this is not 100% accurate, but loosely it's Tor. It's the Tor network. I mean, you have Noster has relays, Tor has exit nodes. And to me, if everything ultimately has to go through these relays or these exit nodes, I don't see where at all ultimately you get sent. How do you avoid the censorship? Because I can tell you at a corporate level, every firewall package has built into it a rule called Tor exit nodes. You just enable the rule, and now your network is completely cut off from Tor. The same thing could happen. The same thing can easily be done with Noster. Let's just cut it off.
Let's just understand. That's not at all what I'm excited about.
Okay.
The experience I have, I don't care how it works. I mean, I understand a lot of it. I don't understand enough of it. By the way, Tor satisfies me very well every single day. I have multiple nodes here at home running on it. I'm very happy. I get payments in and out through to the Tor network. So I'm not excited about censorship resistant any more than I am about Bitcoin being censorship resistant. What I find exciting is I own my identity. This is the exciting part to me. I owe my identity to such a degree that I actually have a little Noster relay on my Umbral. So everything that I do is basically backed up there. And so even if it's thrown off of all the relays, whatever, but I have my stuff. And I find it the intriguing part to me is that no matter what app or service or anything that I've used, I show up and I put in my public key and it knows who I am and it knows about stuff that I have. That's exciting to me.
No, I get you. I get you. It pushes identity down the chain from the server level to the client level.
Correct. But what I'm seeing is interesting things that you can do with that. With that specific thing, I don't care if it ran over two tin cans and a string. I like that part. There's something about it that I like. I'm just going to keep identifying it. So when someone says, hey, if you have a podcast GUID, we can connect that to it. I can see kind of conceptually what can be done with that. It just feels like there's, you know, this public-private key thing. That's what attracted me to Bitcoin.
Well, it feels, I don't know, I think the cryptographically secure identity I'm trying to figure out the right way to express this. My first idea was to say that it's overrated. I'm not sure that's accurate. I'm not sure that's an accurate representation of what my thoughts are, though. I run into this from time to time, where and seeing as how everything around Nostr very much emphasizes the censorship resistance angle.
No, that's just the early adopters who just were talking about that. And those guys, most of them are talking out of their ass. They're excited. Sure, sure. They're excited people. And they think, oh, yeah. I mean, believe me, email should be on Nostr. I got it. Okay. But that's not going to happen. Right. Right. I understand that. But look, I've been around. I've picked things up. I'm usually pretty early. I'm just feeling something here. I'm going to keep saying it because something is happening with it that is beyond the technical bullshit and beyond whatever's left of the toxic Bitcoiners. You know, there's something going on. There's a lot of positive energy, and I can't build anything. I can't do anything. But you know, people come to me and say, "Well, how about this? Oh, that sounds pretty cool." And there's going to be stuff coming out of it. And I don't want to be so locked up in transcript resolution that we forget to look at other things that are happening out there on the battlefield.
No, I don't really ultimately have, no, I have no problem with the Nostr people doing, I mean, I got no problem with it. My issues with it, the reason I'm trying to explain why I'm not more excited about it. That's really what this is not anti-Nostr. This is just really like, why is it not just really lighten me up? And it's, I mean, like concrete cryptographically secure identity only matters. It's only desirable when there's trust. Like in a situation where you have a group setting. Let's just use Mastodon, for instance, in podcastindex.social. I do want an identity that is stable and secure and proven. I want, when I post to podcastindex.social, I want to be known as Dave. And in a way that nobody else can tinker with or mimic or impersonate. Outside of that context, concrete identity proof becomes a lot less desirable. Like in the big example would be if you're commenting on a random person's blog post in their comment thread on their WordPress site, I don't really want to use my identity on that. Like I may be making a comment on there that's in this blog post is controversial and I may have a controversial opinion and I'm not really comfortable tagging my cryptographically secure identity to this thing. It's like once you leave sort of a trusted network and go out into other areas, concrete identity becomes less desirable and can be even a liability.
Obviously the simple answer is I have an identity for this. I have an identity for that. And I do. I'm going to have an identity for Pornhub, and I'm not going to use the same keys that I'm using for other things. when it comes to specifically the Mastodon example, I know that in general, if I wanted to move my identity, well, my account, not my identity, my username and my followers, et cetera, and my posts, I can move that to another server. But I don't get the same identity. That's a new identity. And someone else can prohibit me from doing that. We're seeing it in two completely different ways. For me, it's the idea of here's my stuff. It's in this little ball and I can take it anywhere I want. And I can plug it in there and all my stuff is going to come up, or the things that I need to connect for that particular environment are going to come up. You know, there's like Hobla.news, which is not a part of Nostr, not a part of the social network Nostr, that uses the same identity. And then boom, I put that in there. I can write a newsletter that people can subscribe to, which is outside of the Nostr, the social network. I found that to be very empowering. All I did is I put in my key, my face pops up, stuff that I want known about me pops up, and it's a whole different environment. In fact, I'll move it away from Nostr. This is what I also find so attractive about using Boostergrams. And I just wanted to throw out there as a thought that I would be happy to put Podverse as an example into a split to have my Boostergram, and I've completely done a 180 on the Boostergram, public Boostergrams, to have my Boostergrams that the people send to me for that podcast to show up on Podverse underneath that episode. I would love to pay for that privilege and for every other app if possible. These are things that from a non-technical person, and it's not really about trust or cryptographically signed or censorship resistant. I see features and things that I can do with this particular thing. I can't create a newsletter on a different service with my Mastodon account. I can't easily make things appear on Podverse unless I put a split in. You see, these are little things that I can do. It makes me feel very powerful as a content creator. Does that make sense?
No, you've made sense since the beginning. I fully understand why you're high on it, and I really do.
I wouldn't say I'm high on it.
Well, you're pretty excited about it.
I am. I do have excitement about it, and when I see other people running around and excited about things, I want to jump in the middle and go, this is exciting. What do we do? And then I see opportunities and I get a strong pushback from the podcasting 2.0 crowd.
Well,
that's my feeling.
Yeah. I wouldn't classify me as a pushback. It's more of there's a whole discussion here around, like, Boostergrams, for instance. I'm really glad that Boostergrams don't have identity tied to them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like it.
That's fine. They don't have it. But I'm not saying I want Boostergrams with identity. I'm not saying that.
I didn't think you were. What I'm saying is, like, there is value. The Nostr ethos is identity, identity, identity. That is the substrate that Nostr lives and breathes on, and is cryptographically secure identity that is owned by you. What I'm saying is outside of a trusted context, I don't see the value of it. I get what you're saying. That you can, we'll just have different identities. But if I have all these identities for everything else I'm doing except this one, well, then it doesn't even matter if it's an identity anymore. I could just make it up, which is essentially what happens in Boostergrams. Your name is just whatever you type into the box when you send the Boostergram. You don't have an identity, so it doesn't even matter. That's what I'm saying, is outside of the
okay, but I'm sorry, I shouldn't have conflated those two. Because I don't give a shit about fucking identity. I care about this thing that I can use, that I can do stuff with. You see, and that's whatever ethos is Nostr is not my ethos. I'm seeing a cool way to connect things with something that I actually control instead of having to have someone else maintain control over it. That's the same as Boostergrams. I can send a Boostergram to someone. No one can stop me. I love that. That's what I love about it. Right. And so, but
but if you tied an identity to it, then, it might be unstoppable.
An identity. What difference does it make? It could be a new identity every single time. I could make up a new one every time. That's my point.
I'm glad you brought that up, because that's exactly what happened with Bitcoin Core. You know, in the beginning, in the early days of Bitcoin, everybody tended to reuse the same wallet ID because it was sort of like an identity, this public key. And rapidly people got away from that because they wanted the privacy. Now you never do you always generate a new wallet ID with every transaction. And so, like, the digital identity aspect of Nostr, because it is so baked into the ethos, I see it becoming a liability more than a help.
I think that's where you're wrong. Perhaps. I don't think that there's an ethos at all. I think that there's a lot of people who say things, and there's impressions. I don't think I have any Nostr ethos. I think I'm coming in and I see that I can do stuff with it that I can't do with anything else.
But you don't run the network. You don't have a Nostr ethos, but you're not building what they're building. They're building it, and they do have an ethos. That's where I'm going with it. I challenge you
on that. I don't think there's one there. I think there's lots of people doing lots of different things. There's item type one, and that's the social network. You know, there can be so many different things with this. That's kind of the point. Okay, so leave that where it is. Let's just talk about Boostergrams. I like Boostergrams as a feature of podcasting 2.0 that no one else has, and we know that YouTube and Apple and Spotify, they're never going to have it. It's not within their corporate DNA. I would like to do more with it within podcasting 2.0. That's the one super advantage we have over anything else. Which is why, as a start, I'm suggesting doing a 180 on where I was initially. I would like to have apps think about integrating Boostergrams per episode that I can enable on their app by sending them a payment, putting a split into my value block. Because I find that exciting. So now I can add something new. That I can, and it would be something I think is engaging. In fact, I know it's engaging for people, and however any app handles that, Lightning has their way of doing it. I would like to see, I'd like to be able to do more, that my audience can do more, interact more with me and my podcast, that it shows up in different ways and different forms inside of a podcast app. That is the Atom ethos that I also see possible with Nostr. Does that make sense?
So, I mean, you're going, this is, you're tying this back to, I mean, this is the Fountain comments.
That style of thing is
what you're talking about.
That's Fountain has made comments. It could just be, I just want to show a leaderboard of my Boostergrams. Could be anything. Mm-hmm. I want to do more with Boostergrams.
You can already do that, right? You can already do the Boostergram leaderboard and stuff.
Yeah, but I don't program stuff. I'm looking for app developers who want to step outside of the box and do other things and come up with other things that we can do. So if we have a lit tag, maybe an app could have a poll, a live poll, or vote for this or vote for that. These types of things are unique to what we're doing outside of every other big company, big tech podcast experience. So I'm identifying that as something that is clearly working because people like it. And I think that we can do more with that.
You're essentially saying double down on the things that are unique.
Yeah, definitely.
And emphasize, build on top of those things. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
No, I agree. Yeah. For sure. So, yeah, for sure. I mean, I had that on my notes is polls. I mean, I don't know what you think about this, Tom. I mean, is polls something? I've been kicking it around for a while. I mean, like, is it something worth doing in the namespace? Do you think there's enough desire out there for something like that?
I'm not sure. I think
Does it have to be a namespace thing?
I think it would have to be defined. It makes sense to have if we're. Because originally we said, okay, and this is true. You could do it in chapters. I mean, you could do it with just kicking out to a web view, but that seems a little chintzy.
But I'm talking pure polling. I'm talking about polling through boosts, through payments. Yeah. Okay. So just so we know, I'm not talking about a polling system that, I mean, a podcast host shouldn't even have to deal with this. I don't think. I'm talking about things that, maybe I'm wrong about that. I don't know.
If you define like a poll, you know, if we have some format, this is what a poll is, and you can put the questions and that kind of thing, like vote, like.
Yeah, I'm not looking for that. I mean, I'm looking for something as simple as, I don't know. I'm not creative enough. And I certainly want to, I'd like to see stuff break and mess around before we try and put anything into a namespace. It just seems like that's where things go to be argued about for a long time. And and I get very, very bored.
Or they come here to this show. They get out of
that. We can go back to webhooks. We can talk about
webhooks. No, I don't mean it that way. It's like, okay, you know, I got the transcripts working, and when I'm told to do it a different way, what do I get excited by? I get excited by seeing Martin's version of transcripts. He's taking what is already available, what will be available. I'm excited about that part. And how that works under the hood is a different part. I'm just saying, I feel that there's so much more exciting stuff we can do with the uniqueness. I mean, it's not a namespace thing. Like this pew pew that's going, that's a feature that I have in my live show. And if there's a service that I can send a split to have something else fly off and spin and do somersaults, I want to do that. I'm trying to say that there's more fun things we can do with our splits and our payments, etc. Like boost bots, all these things are really cool. These things, more of that. It's not. I don't even think I'm even asking for a structured thing. I'm saying where's the we need more creative crap going on with something that is really, really working and exciting, and I think is much better than what the Noster LN URL stuff is, and we can do so much more. That's what I'm saying.
Can I throw out another tag?
Yeah,
we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Has Adam looked at the pod roll?
Yes, of course.
What'd you think about that?
I hate the name, but I understand the. And to me, it's recommendations. You know, we've had this idea for a long time. App developers are busy. I don't know. I mean, if it shows up, I'll use it. I'm probably more interested right now in the remote item where, you know, I can finally have music on my show, and then I'll be able to send splits to the owner and respect the splits of that owner's work in the context of my show. That would be more that's an example of something I'd like to do. Music in general, you know, we see musicians showing up in podcast apps. We're just leaving a lot on the table as a creative group, not as a podcast body.
Kevin, you did the pod roll, right? You proposed it. Like, what was your vision for that when you proposed it?
That I hate algorithms. So
yeah,
screw the algorithms. Screw. I don't like the idea of a podcast app listing my podcast when someone's listening. The app trying to make a recommendation of what the person should listen to next. Like, I'm the show creator. The people who are listening like hearing what I'm talking about, but they should be most interested in what I recommend. And so just display, like, give me an option, give me a tag that I can put shows that I think that my audience would also like and display them.
Wasn't that the idea of the pod roll in the first place?
Yeah, that's the idea. It's just stupid simple. And I think it would be great. Like, and we could put pressure on app developers, like, whatever, Pocket Cast, Overcast, Apple. Why are you, who are you when someone's listening to my content to push them in the direction of your subscription show or something that you're, you know, you're making 30%. Like,
wow. You want to put pressure on people? That's fuck that noise.
Well, I'm just saying if that is in my RSS feed and then someone is listening to my show, also show the rest of my stuff, which is the other shows I think you should listen to. And then after that, if you want to go ahead and do your algorithm stuff, knock yourself out.
I think it makes sense because you have like the only thing you're left with is I was listening to, you know, Pod News Weekly. We're talking about Acast and recommendations and the various ways that, and it's not just them that lots of people do this where they, you know, the keyword targeting and that kind of thing. When you boil it down to categories and keywords, it just almost never works. I'm talking about recommendations. Now for advertising, I don't know. I don't understand that world. But when it comes down to recommendations by algorithm, God, it's a mess. It just never works because you say, okay, well, you're clearly interested in news and politics because you listen to No Agenda. Like, yeah, but this is not exactly news and politics. Right. It's a completely different, like it's not the new, you listen to this show because it takes a cat. You listen to a show because it takes a category or a keyword type thing and interjects some new life into it. It's not about the category. It's about the content of that specific show. And that's an intangible that you can't quantify.
Yeah.
So I totally agree. Yeah.
It's just me being nostalgic also. Like when in the 90s, I would go to blog sites all the time. I'd load them up my newsreader. And how did I find the next blog that I wanted to read? Usually from a recommendation of a blog I was already reading. And there were no algorithms pushing me in certain directions. And I don't necessarily think algorithms are making the world better, or probably making it worse. But
you followed the blog carnival, didn't you, Kevin? Do you remember blog carnivals?
But yeah. I'd always go from one to the next. And I'd be like, oh, I love the way that this person writes. And I love what they write about. What are they reading? And that would always be in their blog role. And I was like, that's just so simple and beautiful. And that's what I want to bring back.
I like it.
And so it's just simple. And it's, and I felt like I just put it out there and it was done. And then, you know, everyone wants to debate it and maybe make it more complicated. But some things are just so simple that I think they should just be done in the first place. Like, just put a little clap emoji on it.
I like the use of the podcast GUID because it gets more people using that as the unique identifier for shows.
Yeah, agreed.
Rather than RSS feeds that change.
Where are we on the GUID? Is that baked in? Are people doing it? Is that... I love that idea. I think it's
got beautiful. Broad adoption. Yeah, it's got pretty broad adoption at this point. And I think I got halfway finished with the GUID resolver, and it's functional. I just have to go back and do the deduplication work, and then it'll be ready if people can use it. I mean, it'll just be like DNS for GUIDs.
I love that. I think that is, there's a lot of things that can be done with that, and then I think it also makes a lot of other things, even stuff like blog roles or, you know, pod roles easier. Mm-hmm.
I'll have the resolver done probably by the end of the month. Yeah.
Let me just throw out something like as a principle for when we're talking about building stuff, primarily maybe in the namespace, but other places as well. I feel like when we're talking about, I mean, some of these concepts can certainly get complicated and sometimes it can't be avoided. I feel like it would be healthy for like specifically the namespace. When complication arises, to try, like as a guiding principle, to try to figure out how we can push that complication onto the hosts. Now, Tom's not going to love this.
Tom's like, well, excuse me?
But I feel like we have really good host support. And, you know, businesses like ours, we're healthy. We've got a decent sized staff. We've got good resources. And we have a business model that works really well. And then you also have broad adoption and support for what's happening. So you have Buzzsprout, you have RSS.com and Transistor and Blueberry and Captivate and Red Circle's doing some things. So there's like, we have some mass behind us. On the app side, the most support that we're getting are from individual app developers, and they don't have the resources to take on complication. We do. And so I would just, again, it doesn't make any business sense for me to make this argument, but I'd rather see, when complication arises, just instead of figuring out, you know, if there's the possibility of moving that complication to one side or the other, like I say, move it to the host side.
I'm in total agreement. And I think here's how it always works. And here's how you can see when things work or they don't. When people are creating content, no matter what it is. If it's a person tag, that's content. So obviously you have to be enabled. That's the chicken and the egg. Nothing really moved in the Podcasting 2.0 project until Stephen B. And many people tried it, and it's very hard to do. And Martin tried it, and a lot of people tried it to come up with a very simple generator that was easy to adapt and to throw in a new tag that we came up with. And Stephen B. did that with Sovereign Feeds. I love him for it. He's my hero for doing that. So once we had two or three bigger shows like No Agenda, etc., using that, then apps start to implement it, and they will implement the things that either are so compelling that they want to implement it because, you know, it's their creativity. They want to do whatever they want to do. But without the content flowing through, then it just never happens. So it is a natural place for it. And that's why I love you guys, because you took the bull by the horn and said, okay, we're going to implement this even if no one's using it. Well, then people start to use it. And I predict, as I always have, that eventually if we have enough transcripts, enough chapters, enough whatever it is, that every single app, even the bigger apps, will eventually, I mean, look, Pocket Cast is going to start implementing things because there's enough. Oh, it's 0.5% who are doing transcripts. They're going to do it. They will. They will eventually do chapters too. So it has to be from the publishing side. It always has to come from the hosting companies.
Yeah, that's where the egg gets cracked.
Yeah.
Definitely. And the chicken egg.
And it's also where the education comes from. You know, I would say that's 60% of what hosting companies do is educate their customers.
What I want to do is dive in headlong to the TXT record discussion, but I think we need to thank some people.
We definitely do. Wow, man. I thought we already solved that with the token.
No, we do, but I want to talk. I wanted to go head on, not fixing it, and I wanted to go into a polemic, an apologetic for the TXT record because it's getting some hate. So
good.
Anyway, I'll save that for next week.
Let me thank a couple of people who've come in live, and we appreciate that in our value for value model. Of course, Dreb Scott has been all over the place. 12121. Thank you, boosting the poll. He says, oh, P-O-L-E. It's a different kind of poll. I got it. Stephen B. with a sack of Richards, 11,111. Finally realizing this episode, and I'm glad to announce Music Side Project now has the ability to create custom playlists, as any good music app should.
Woo!
Yeah, this is really taken off. I mean, I'm plugging it. Musicians are coming to him. This is good. Yeah. Dreb with another 12121. Dreb, I'm worried about Dreb Scott. Can I just stop for a second? Dreb, I'm going to say this because I love you and the things you do for Podcasting 2.0, the things you've done for my shows, the thing you've done for No Agenda. He's an Archduke. Dreb, please tell me you're not boosting away your kid's college fund. I just want to make sure. I'm only half kidding. I get worried when I see this.
We started with namespace talk, which... He went nuts. I mean, that he lost it.
What do you mean he lost?
That's what he loves. He loves namespace talk. So we
okay. Stop my boost, he says. No, there's no stop on the boost. Exactly. Brian of London, 1948. Haven't been listening, but I'm very grateful that Podping was put in the standard. Excellent step. And there you go, guys. Mm-hmm. Then we move to another Brian of London. Ah, yes, this is the 31,948 Satoshis boosting live from a restaurant in Cyprus. Not listening, but I'm sure you just said something excellent. Well, of course we did.
I did.
Boost! Eric PP, 33,333. Another Dreb Scott, except this one is 121,212.
Baller! Shot caller, 20-inch blaze on the Impala.
That's when he was boosting for the live boost to rip it. Man is insane, I'm telling you. He's insane. R. Davis, 87, 2,000, pre-boosting Go Podcasting. You got it, man. Thank you, Chad F. 3333, great pre-show content. Alwyn Conchax, that would be from Conchax, I guess. 12,000, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 12,345. He says, episode split management coming to Conchacks very soon. Thanks, Dave. Yes, onboarding through Conchacks. Love that. Great idea.
You're very welcome. We gave him built him a partner API over the last few weeks.
Fantastic. Yeah, I love now being able to say, hey, you want to onboard with Podcasting 2.0? Here's all these hosts. Here's, you guys responded to that too, Buzzsprouters. Here's these different places, this app, this service. I love that. Tone Wrecker 10101. Happy to report first music collaboration happened organically on Wavelake with another artist in East Africa, finding a track I shared on Noster. He added vocals, posted a new version the next day, even dropped a Wavelake shout out in the new track. He's now receiving sats via V4V, and another adventure is underway in music space. Woohoo! Yes.
Boost!
Excellent, man. I love these collaborations. Then we have Midas with 5,000. Thank you, Midas. Harv Hat 10101 with the pre-boost. We appreciate it. And I think, we have one more pre-boost here. Boobery with the evil 66,666. He says he'd like to open his theater up to value for value ticket sales called Free Will Donations by the play publisher. Do y'all think V4V is viable for live theater? And where would you feel the best spot for the ask would be, i.e. at the website, at the door, pre-show announcement? Okay, I got to think about this. That goes a little bit beyond what my brain can handle today. And then I hit the delimiter. So that is our pre-boosters. We appreciate it. And Dave has more people to thank.
I do. We don't have any PayPals. We fully transitioned.
Fully. We've transitioned. We're trans!
but we do have boosts. We have many boosts. We have 2112, Rush Boost from Lyceum. He says, running with scissors on needles and pins. Caroline's Monkey by Depeche Mode. Martin Lindescoe.
Wait, is he doing that one again? We did that one, didn't he, last week?
No, he's doing it again.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is a different one.
We only play it once, Martin.
No, it's a trick. The Trickler, that would be the Swedish Trickler.
Mm-hmm.
500 sats. He's below the limit, but I'm going to give him one anyway because he doesn't boost very much. Go podcasting is what he says.
You got it, man.
6969 from Hey Citizen. He just says boost.
Boostagram.
Chimp sent us 22223 through Podverse. He says boost it to the top.
Okay. these were when we were singing last week. I'm telling you, I think we did these on the pre.
Did we?
I think so. Yeah, I think we did these.
Oh, you know what got, okay. All right.
You're right.
This got me because I started, we did a late show.
Yep. That's what it is. Yes. The timing was off, of course.
Yeah. Let me just go through here. That's right. 8:59. Yeah. These are like that night. Okay. I got you. Okay. April 1st. Here we go. Auburn Citadel, 100,000 sats.
Woo. Hold on.
Baller, shot caller, 20 inch blaze on the Impala.
Yeah, you're right. Thanks for reminding me. So he says Pura Vida. So whatever that means.
That's another Noster. That is actually the icky stuff of Noster.
So you're saying this is the Noster ethos.
Yeah, okay, Dave. It's the Noster. Yes, that's it. Where people say, have a nice day and good night. Yeah, I know. The bunch of dicks over there. Can't believe it.
That always tells you that you're in the honeymoon phase of any technology when people get them like, hey, good morning.
Yeah. No, it's there. No. Yeah. That is the Noster social media network ethos. Right. Yes, I agree.
Cass Peelan, 3690, says, love this show. Well, we love you, Cass.
We sure do. He's up late.
A small satchel of Richards, 1111 from Joel W. Through Fountain, no note. Cole McCormick, 3333, says, Dave, you need to start doing the Wim Hof method to stop getting sick. Yes, I think
drink your beef shakes, man. That's
I nailed one right before the show. hate to hear it. I promise, get healthy from breathing. The podcast needs you. Go podcasting.
Yeah.
25,001 sats from Clarkian, my buddy. He says, beep boop. Okay. All right, beep boop.
Beep boop. All right.
Boost.
Just listening sent us 300 sats. He says, returning the sats I earned while listening on Fountain. I'm a musician in a small town. just getting started, and I'm going to be launching my first album through Podcasting 2.0 by the end of the year. Wish me luck.
Yeah. And by the way, it's not just Fountain. It works on many other apps. Go to podcastapps.com and make sure you promote all of them because people will use them.
It is properly decentralized. Gene Bean, 4,000 sass. Thank you, Gene. He says, Adam talking about DJs today makes me think about Tom Petty's The Last SJ.
Sat J?
Gene Bean again, 1337. Leet Boost, he says, maybe the music part of PSP could be a SIG, S-I-G, a.k.a. Special Interest Group. You have lobbyists now, okay. That's how things like this are done in the Linux ecosystem.
That's right. Usenet group.
Usenet. Yeah, you're going to be lobbied, Kevin. I mean, people are going to be, you know, you're going to be having to pressured with bribes and such to get special things. Yeah. you're willing to go up against that and try to stay true, right?
Yeah, I'm ready for my arraignment in New York. I'll hop on a plane. And...
Gene Bean, again, 1337, says, maybe this is a duplicate. I hope that whatever ends up being used for chat is at a minimum bridgeable to Matrix like IRC is. I'd like to avoid having yet another client. Yeah. Fair enough.
Well, that is something worth talking about next week.
Yes. Bad career advice, Chad. Exodus 2222. He says, serious suggestion. Might I recommend New Media Standards Project? Is this a name change? It can solve both podcasting and music.
No, we were talking about that we needed an advocacy group for music on 2.0 value for value.
That's right. Bad advice suggestion. Also could be the eventual defining body for when someone creates a V4V version of OnlyFans. New media, all types. Well, that's a completely separate group.
Yeah, Roy has promised that for 3 years. He's never going to do it.
He's in charge of that subcommittee of the boardroom.
Did Kyron pick up the Cossack podcaster lady? He said he was going to.
Yeah. He onboarded her.
He did?
Yeah, she's on the show. Both her shows are V4V.
Oh, okay. Well, good. Then we can have her on the show.
Oh, so that's a good idea.
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
Sir Doug, 10,000 sats. He says, it's been a while. Okay.
Thanks, Sir Doug.
Long time no see. Boris Kozelski, 10,000 sats. He says, what do you think about Podcast Standards Project? You know what? We love it, Boris. We talked about it
in great detail.
Two ambassadors right here. Kyron, speak of the devil. From the Mere Mortals podcast, 4119 through Podverse, he says, draining this random wallet. Thanks for both of your help this week, Kyron.
By the way, did you hear his episode with Sam Sethi, CEO of PodFans?
It is next on my list.
Wow. Got it yet. Sam Sethi is an interesting dude. I just thought, you know, he's just some random Indian British guy. Yeah.
No spoilers. Don't give me
very, very, very interesting guy. Yeah, but you can't judge a book by its cover or by his voice. I'm saying this is a good thing. Interesting. You'll love it. I was blown away by it. And you know, Kyron always does his research.
God, he's a good. I mean, he is a deep interviewer. He goes all the way to the bottom.
Yeah.
6969 from Hey Citizen. He says, warriors armed with scissors and gaffer tape.
That's us. That's right, man. Thank you.
Josh Prohl, 1,000 sass. He says, Pocket Cast beats Fountain like a $2 mule. Woo. Goodness gracious, Josh.
Fighting talk right there.
Josh, man, what'd you drink this morning? So I'm going back.
Pura Vida.
Figured my meager earned sass should go to the best calls. Go podcasting.
Yeah, man. Yeah,
and some fountain hate. Gosh. No. Borlog, 50,000 sass through Podverse. He says, letting you know this project means a lot to us and wanted to say thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
You're welcome, Borlog.
Thank you.
Lyceum, 22222 through Fountain. He says, you have the rabbit's hair. You have the rabbit's hairs in the row. The Podcasting 2.0 initiative is the rebirth of the internet radio on demand. Leo Laporte's suggestion for a new word for podcast is getting more and more appropriate. You are the light with lit. Live Adam tag, cross app, cross comment threads, value for value music, etc. Go podcasting.
Oh, it's Martin Lindeskog.
Podcasting.
There we go. Yeah. Yeah. He's up there. Isn't he in Sweden?
Yeah. I think so.
He's like in Spotify's backyard. Light him up, man.
Dovey Doss, 25,000 sats through Fountain. He says, thank you, Dave, for generating a Podping token. This will help RSS Blue reach its ESG commitments. You're welcome, Dovey Doss.
That's right. Yeah, you should get carbon credits for that.
Yes. Yeah, we should both get. He should and I should.
Yes, because I'm the, exactly.
This was that type of week where there was a whole lot of like private people asking me for things and doing stuff. So
no one ever asked me for anything.
Well, I mean, if you want to, I can pass it along if you would like.
No, I mean, I'm the front line, man. I'm the triage. I'm up there with people saying, hey, my episodes are out of order. Fix it. Yeah. I'm like, can you tell me what the name of the show is?
they DM me on Mastodon as a way to loophole and get around behind your firewall.
Really? Well, you should block them for that. That's not cool. Yeah. No, you've got to go through info@podcastindex.org and I will sign my initials to your email and I will help you.
That's right. Okay. Delimiter, Comic Strip Blogger, 33015 says, darling Dave and amigo Adam, did you know that the word robot originates from Slavic language?
No. I did not.
Then you simply must brush up on vital knowledge pertinent to preventing a pernicious future for us all. Subscribe to the AI.cooking podcast show. It is a superb resource to assist in that endeavor. The single greatest feat the human race can look to achieve is to shake loose the shackles of servitude. Yo.
CSB and Gwoof.
Gwoof.
Wow.
We got some.
They're very creative, Comics or Blogger. Very, very creative. Mm-hmm. Every single day. I appreciate that. Yes, thank you all for your boostgrams and for your boost and for your streaming sats. And monthly, these are Fiat Fun coupons mainly.
Yes. Congratulations to Gwoof on the new human resource, by the way.
Oh, yes. Indeed. Yes. Indeed.
Monthly, Scott Jalbert, $12. Chad Farrow, $20.22.
Thank you, Chad.
Mark Graham, $1. Joseph Maraca, $5. Jeremy New, $5. Cameron Rose, $25. And New Media, that's Martin Lindeskog, $1.
Thank you all very much. And just so you know, when you hear people throwing around big numbers and sats and everything, it doesn't matter to us as long as you're sending back value for something that you received. And whatever you find valuable, we can't determine that. So for one, it's $1. For one, it's $5. For one, it's 1111 sats. For one, it's 500 sats. For another, it's 50,000 sats. We appreciate it all. It's how it's supposed to work. And you have been keeping the lights on here for going on 3 years. If you'd like to support us, go to podcastindex.org. At the bottom, you see two. Oh, I should probably check it right now. I always forget to check the tally coin. We have a red button there, red donate button, which is for PayPal for your Fiat Fun coupons. And we have the tally coin. And let's see. Nope. That's for the on-chain. People begged and begged and begged that we do it. And no one ever showed up except Dreb Scott. Dreb Scott is the one who's always doing it. We appreciate it so much. And of course, the preferred method is to get into the ecosystem and to boost us, boostograms, with a modern podcast app at podcastapps.com.
To underscore what you said, I spun up a new server today. A $5 server on Leno to host the index for the reverse lookup from enclosures to feed IDs. Ooh. And it was a $5 server. So
what will that do? The reverse lookup to whatever you just said.
It will allow people to put in to the API an enclosure URL, and it will spit out what feed it belongs to.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, because evidently it's a bigger thing than I realized that people sometimes know the enclosure URL, like Spurlock and OP3. They know the enclosure URL, but they don't know
where it's coming
what
from.
Podcast it belongs to.
Oh, yeah. So it's a Spurlock special request, basically.
It actually wasn't him. It was prompted by Dan Benjamin because he's building a piece of software that needed the same thing. And then Spurlock's like, hey, I need that too.
I was wondering, you know, because I put no agenda into the OP3 system. I have to be honest. I never look at the stats, but I know what they are. Should I just, as a lark, should I put it into one of those other leaderboard things that people are, because I hear these numbers like, oh, this podcast had, had 500,000 downloads. I'm like, dude, I do that in a week or two, maybe. I don't know. Maybe we should just go mess up all those leaderboards. And I pop up in the iHeart numbers and stuff. I mean, it's, I keep hearing James. You know, he always does all these and all these different things. And but this person doesn't measure that, and they don't measure that. I'd like to put mine in everywhere, just see what happens. See if we show
an incomplete
up.
Ranker.
Yeah, in the ranker. Yeah, I want to be in a ranker. Yeah, that would be fun.
I like it. That's a good idea.
You want to still do text? We're 2 and 4, but if you wanted to dive into text, I'm cool with it.
No, you implemented it, Dave.
Okay, I was going to ask you. That was the first question on the list was, have you implemented it yet? Is it? Yeah. I mean, it's out the door. It's baked.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So the way that we're doing it is we're using it to verify ownership, but I think that's just one use case for it, right? Like there can be more if there's ever a need to put something in your RSS feed. Like the DNS. I mean, what it's inspired by is the DNS ticks.
When being on the front lines of info.podcastindex.org, when someone shows up and says, I want, and they have a Buzzsprout feed, so now what do I tell them to verify? Because not that I don't trust them, but now I just want to mess with them. So what do I tell them? What do they have to do when I say, well, you got to verify your feed? How do I do that?
You can give them a code word or a number. Oh,
I can just give them anything and say, put this into
anything
your
you want.
And what is it called? You don't call it a TXT, do you? What do you call it on the verification? What do you call it in your UI?
It says email address or token.
Ah, okay.
And it would take anything. So
email address.
Okay, so you can in Buzzsprout's UI, if you go in the email address or token field, if I plug in the email address, it goes into the TXT record.
Yeah, it's in the the RSS field, like in the when you go to look at your RSS feed, there's a thing down at the bottom that allows you to verify ownership, and it says put in an email address or a token.
If you put in an email address, I don't know if we put it actually in the text field.
So
we're just trying to be a little clever. So if we recognize an email address, we'll actually add it as a iTunes owner and drop it in there because that's what
Google uses.
Are you going to keep doing that even after Apple deprecates that tag?
Google's the kicker.
Here's the weird thing. Yeah, it's Apple's tag that they deprecated, but people still use it.
So okay, I'm a little confused. So if I give someone, because of course I want to give someone a token, like a really weird number, 8008. Yes. Yeah, put that in. Five. that'll show up where in their feed?
In the podcast text tag.
Okay, so it will show up there. Oh, perfect. Okay, I can't wait to do that. I'm excited. I'm excited to send people back.
Everyone has the same verification token when you go through Adam.
Okay. No. You just heard the verification token. No, I got a whole bunch.
We can just
hard
code that.
No, right. I'm going to give you a Nostr. I'm going to give you a Nostr public key. All right, copy this.
Yeah. Oh no.
That's good. That sounds like the ethos. So that's
because Sam was just irate about the TXT tag and the deprecation of email. I just wanted to run over it real quick since we're doing this. The thing is, Apple is deprecating that, and they are still, when they deprecate something, it's a big deal. I mean, as much as none of us like it, it is a big deal, and it's going to have wide ranging effects. So we had to do something. It wasn't a choice. And so when we talked to Ted at Podcast Movement, he was like, look, this is what we do internally. We give, when people want to claim their show on Apple Podcasts, we give them a code, a random string of characters, and we tell them to stick it in their show notes. We would like, and we're not going to stop. That's the way we're going to do this. This is not negotiable because that's the way that our support team needs it to function. So we would really like it to be there to be a special tag to house this value so that it doesn't have to ugly up their show notes. So basically, that's what we were told. And it was like, okay, well, that's fine. I mean, y'all are sort of driving this whole ship. So now, but
it's not actually in the show notes. It's in a separate field.
Yes, that's right. That's right. So now it's hidden. It doesn't ugly up your show notes with just some random string of garbage.
But what I just heard you say is, here's, it's non-negotiable. You put it in your show notes, but we'd like it to be in a TXT field.
Well, no, it's non-negotiable. I think that they want to put that token into the RSS feed. Where it goes is negotiable. Even in their instructions, when they tell a podcaster to put it in there, they tell them like multiple places they can put it. I really think they just look anywhere in the RSS feed to see if that token exists.
Well, we should probably get a confirmation on that.
Well, the part that I meant that was non-negotiable is that they were not open to doing this any other way. They weren't going to say, "Oh, we'll do OAuth or we'll do something." They were like, "No."
Okay. But I'm just saying because, you know, we know Apple and they'll be, "No, we're looking in the show notes." No, we're not going to look in the TXT field. I'm just, you know, I would hate for that to happen.
I think that's fine. I think they just do a string search. In the whole entire,
I think that's what
XML sounds right.
But to ease Sam and everybody else, I mean, this can be a very simple process, and like, and it doesn't for this doesn't for preclude other ways of doing it. Like we just talked about the open scriptions and that kind of thing. I mean, other ways can arise for doing feed verification. That's fine, and I've got an idea as well that I'm going to implement after the good resolver thing is done, but. For us
on webhooks,
webhooks.
Show title, webhooks. I'm giving you the webhook. Here we go.
All right. But you know, it other things can arise. But I mean, this really was almost like a, I don't know, like a self defense move, to have something ready for that would actually that would encompass what Apple said that's what they're doing.
Well, I would say I feel Sam's pain because you know he's trying to onboard people into pod fans, and I feel his pain. So I would say that you know top of the list, even above anything else for the podcast standards project, I would say the adherence to that, to having a version of the TXT authentication, is the most kind, brotherly, sisterly thing we can do for each other, because it really the having those email addresses gone, and I guess Apple is pretty much also you know at play here. It really complicates your life. Without having that verification mechanism.
I think there's a pain. We're going through a pain process right now, but I foresee a future after this transition is finished to where it will actually be much easier than email is now. The future is better.
Oh, of course, email sucks so bad with spam, etc. Oh, I'm completely with you. I'm saying to our ambassadors here that I would say, man, if you can drive that, that's going to help a lot of, and it helps forward moving. New stuff come online where people have to verify that way. Or, you know, they could just verify with the Noster ID. I'm just saying,
Well, I mean, Chad F. just boosted 8008 sats and said, he said, I verified my feed.
You're verified, brother. You're verified. Kevin and Tom, thank you so much for coming on. Thank you for all that you do. As always, thank you for supporting specifically Podcasting 2.0 so graciously, as you always do, with your monthlies, but also with your people, your team, working on stuff, even you know, especially the support team who have to deal with all the crazy crap we come up with, and then you guys have to train your users. We really appreciate it. You guys are true brothers in the fight, and thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, guys.
It was fun.
Hey, Dave.
Yep.
I love you, brother.
I love you too, brother.
Drink some beef milkshake, will you? All right, everybody. We'll be back next week. Another board meeting of Podcasting 2.0. Thanks for joining. Bye, chat room. See you, everybody.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting!
Satoshi Slam!
Bombshell.